Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're five attorneys, they're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. From Dallas, Texas, Ryan Pope. Michael Rooster Phelan from Richmond, Virginia. Patrick Milk Meichler from Tampa. Toby House Milrod from Philadelphia. Chris Bison Ace from D.C.
SMQBs, episode 230. We're here with Milk, House, Pope, and Rooster. Hey, fellas. Good to see you again.
Hey, welcome back.
Welcome back to you, Pope. Where's your accent?
I left it on the course in St. Andrews.
That's right, baby. Bison is now on...
Yeah, we flipped.
He's in Paris. Won't be able to join us today.
I promise we're not using our sponsorship money for our, you know,
for
podcasters to go all over the internet.
No, it's just a horrible idea.
Speaking about sponsors, the show tonight is being brought to you in part by our good friends at Injury Board, injuryboard.org. Milk, tell us about Injury Board.
Oh, it's a premier networking organization for the best trial lawyers in the country, three of whom are on this pod right now. So if you're looking to expand your network, consider injuryboard.org.
You should count yourself, Milk. I mean, there's four of them on the pod, including yourself.
Three are here.
Yeah.
But there are four.
Good point. So anyway, let's move it along and head to the Who Are You Taking to the Bar segment. I saw something on Facebook that I have not been able to confirm yet. You guys tell me if you've heard this, that Christian Horner has accepted a job as principal of Cadillac for next season.
No way.
No. Hadn't seen that.
Is that true?
With Botas and Perez as their drivers.
Yeah.
I saw it on a Facebook post attributed to some company with formula in the name. So I don't know if it's real or not. Anyway.
I'm seeing why Christian Horner is likely to see Cadillac as not a, quote, good fit for a return.
Yeah. So having dispelled of that rumor, I'm going to take to the bar Mr. Cal Raleigh, the big dumpster himself, who today hit his 49th homer of the season and already has more homers in a single season than any catcher in Major League Baseball history. I'm going to take him to the bar, and we're going to have a little chat about his PR team and maybe do something about that nickname.
Yeah, he's now the big chumpster, not the
dumpster. Yeah, big something other than dumpster.
Yeah, come on. That's his nickname?
Yeah.
Dumpster?
I saw him in Philly. He was a dumpster fire.
Well, that dumpster fire is almost 50 home runs.
Yeah. You don't see it from catchers. He broke the record, right? Or tied?
Yeah, I think he broke the record for catchers.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
49 already, and there's 30.
It's only because Nace was never brought up to the show.
Probably not. House, who are you taking to the bar?
Well, this is a big weekend this past weekend for a lot of folks out there who had fantasy football drafts. And so I am bringing to the bar a very special player. He played at college at Auburn University. And was a third-round draft pick in for the NFL. And he will be spearheading the running back crew for the Rooster team, the G-Men. His name is Tank Bigsby. And if you want yourself a ring on your team, you get Tank Bigsby as your lead running back. No one tell Rooster that he's the backup in Jacksonville. But
no,
all kidding aside...
Not. A, no, he's not. And B, my number one running back is James Conner.
I have to tell you.
Well, at least you only have four running backs.
Speaking of being at the bar, just a public service announcement to any of you who have not conducted your draft yet. Be careful about mixing spirits with drafting. I'll just say that.
It may lead to some questionable picks. Well, and this one is totally on behalf of Bison because I know he would take him to the bar if he was here. I'm taking touchdown Terry McLaurin.
Oh, God.
And on behalf of Bison, who now is speaking very highly of him. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but on his law firm webpage, he is now promoting Terry McLaurin again as of a few hours ago.
He dusted that off pretty quick.
He's back in his good graces. 3 years, $96 million, $30 million signing bonus. He got his $32 million a year. He is back with the Commanders. And they're going to win the Super Bowl now, right, House?
Bison wasn't so high on touchdown Terry when we were together.
The
he was ready to write him
unreal.
Off. It's unbelievable. And now he's promoting him on social media.
It was a quick switch. Quick switch.
Can't spell chameleon without Chris.
Pope, did you go yet?
On that note, no. I'm bringing Captain USA Keegan Bradley to the bar. Because he's got a big decision to make in the next couple days. We're going to find out on Wednesday who his captain's picks are for Ryder Cup. And, you know, first and foremost, he's got to decide whether he's going to pick himself. Last playing captain we had was Arnold Palmer back in 1963, back when the Ryder Cup basically wasn't even competitive. I think we dusted him by at least 10 points in that Ryder Cup. So this is a huge decision. I mean, Keegan Bradley, you guys saw him this weekend. He's playing elite golf. He's clearly one of the top 10 golfers in the world now. And
top 10?
In the world, top 10 golfers.
Wow.
Probably top 3 or 4 right now playing for the USA. So
Who else is in the mix, Pope?
Well, the other ones who are in the mix are Justin Thomas, who's a no-brainer. He's playing well, and he's the next out, so he's definitely on the team. Colin Morikawa, who's not playing well, but, you know, he's got a lot of experience, and, you know, you can't convince me some of these guys like Goddard and others who are having, you know, great seasons but have no experience that Keegan would want to go to Bethpage with them. Cam Young's probably in now after a pretty good tournament at Eastlake. You know, the guy who you love to hate, Cantlay, who will take, you know, 10 minutes to hit a shot. He's got experience and he's playing well. I mean, he finished, third? So
can't play.
Sam Burns, Ben Griffin, those are two other, you know, decisions. Sam Burns played really well with and is, you know, best friends with Scotty. Ben Griffin is, you know, he's had a great year.
So,
but this,
I thought we were talking about who are you taking to the bar. Are you taking all these people?
I'm taking Keegan, but he asked me who are the other considerations are. So if Keegan picks himself, then out of those six I gave you, he's got to pick five. If he doesn't take himself, then I think he's got his team. And I just want to know what his strategy is, because the Euros are going to be tough, and I just want to pick his brain.
All right. Good job. All right. Well, shout out to one of our other sponsors tonight, Digital Law Marketing, digitallawmarketing.com, the best law firm website creator out there for plaintiffs' law firms. Check them out at digitallawmarketing.com.
And they've got a website for me that they're under construction.
So it'll be three of us plus the pod.
Right.
All right. Well, let's. We've got the football season upon us here, fellas. We're going to kick it off soon. Let's do a preview starting with the AFC tonight. Let's start with the East. Who wants to kick it off? Who thinks that anyone is challenging the Bills in the AFC East this year?
That's impossible. That cannot happen.
I think it is impossible. The rest of the teams have huge problems, don't you guys think? I mean, yeah, Miami, their O-line is a concern this year, which is ridiculous when you have Tua as your quarterback.
Right, because they can't protect Tua.
A-Chain is hurt. His backup, Jalen Wright, is hurt. So now they're down to some rookie we never heard of until Scott drafted him yesterday, Ollie Gordon.
This is the Miami. Dolphins?
Drake May did not look great in preseason. I know that's a small sample size, but people are worried that he's taking a step back.
I like the direction that the Patriots are going generally. I mean, it was not in some ways the most fair coaching change, but they definitely have improved coaching. I think Travion Henderson is going to be a star, maybe not right away. I think Ramondre is already a good running back. I think they've improved at wide receiver, And I do think Drake May is going to be okay. I know he didn't have a great preseason, but I don't think any of those teams under the Bills are going to make the playoffs. But I think the Patriots are going in the right direction. The Jets, Miami, and New England, though, I'd be really surprised if any one of those was in the mix. And so the Bills, I mean, look, the big question in the AFC, I mean, we can go division by division, but the big question in the AFC is, does anybody dethrone the Chiefs? And I think it's probably pretty much a four-team race. Maybe we could sprinkle in something like the Broncos to make it five, but everybody is wondering, can the Bills or the Ravens finally dethrone them, and do the Bengals get back their health that they returned to their Super Bowl run of a few years ago? So, I mean, I think it's a four-team race in the AFC with the Chiefs, champs of the AFC until they're dethroned. The Bills are looking really strong. The Ravens are looking really strong. And the Bengals have all the tools necessary if they can get Trey Hendrickson under contract. That's a big, big if. Their defense is a real problem without that. And if Jamar and Burrow stay healthy. But for me, guys, this year, I'm going to put my marker down here. I think the Chiefs are very angry. I do think they're going to come out really strong. But I actually think the Ravens are going to get over the hump this year. I do. I think that they have made some additions. Their defense is ridiculous. They added Jaire Alexander to a defense that included Kyle Hamilton, Marlon Humphrey, Roquan Smith, and then they drafted Malachi Starks. I mean, their defense is absurd. Add in Derrick Henry. I have some questions about whether or not Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman are difference makers at wide receiver, but they also added D-Hop. And I know he's long in the tooth.
He is long in the tooth.
He is, but as a third receiver, like, if Zay is burning and you got to cover him, they've got a lot of options, including two tight ends in both Andrews and Likely. So I just think the Ravens have so much firepower that if they can get home field, this is the big one, if they can get home field and run that table on the AFC North, they got it. They got to go 5-1 the AFC North. They can't. They got to run over the Browns. They got to take two from the Steelers, maybe lose one of the Bengals. I think between the Ravens and the Bills, one of those teams is getting 14 or 15 wins. The Chiefs is Mahomes, Pacheco, Rice, Travis going to stay on the field, out of suspension, out of problems, out of injury issues, you know. Like I said, the biggest thing going for the Chiefs right now is anger. You listen to any of their interviews, you know, they got stung. They got stung really bad from that. And after Brady lost to the Eagles in Super Bowl 52, he came back with a vengeance, really, really stung by that. I think Mahomes is that kind of player. He's such a champion that I think him and Kelsey get serious about this and look out for the Chiefs. Yeah, let's hope Kelsey does.
I mean, he's giving all indications that he's ready to go this year in a different way than last year.
I think so. We'll see.
You know,
I know Milk loves the Broncos.
I'm all in on the Broncos.
Yeah,
that's your darling, right?
This I think Broncos and Chargers are two teams that we're maybe underestimating.
You guys are laughing at me about Bo Nix. On Saturday, I'm telling you right now.
Fucking hate Bo Nix, but that has nothing to do with the fact that he's not.
Right, I know. He will be a top seven quarterback in the NFL this year. And you,
what are you talking about?
Top seven.
Where are you getting
that
from?
By the way, you look at his stats from last year. That guy went so under the radar as a rookie. He threw for almost 4,000 yards. By the way, I have to see, you know, how many TDs and all that. I don't have in front of me, but the guy had an unbelievable rookie season. I think, and he did
it. He's got
Sean
Payton.
He had zero running game. I love this RJ Harvey kid.
What?
The rookie draft pick.
Yeah, he's going to be good. J.K. Dobbins plays like he did last year.
If Dobbins is good, tandem. they have the probably the best O-line in the AFC. I think they're going to challenge. I'm not sold on the Chiefs at all. I think they were exposed last year. Wow. They got lucky as hell. They have one of the
How many games by one score?
They have a terrible offensive line.
They won like 13 in a row or something.
I have no idea if Rashid Rice is going to play this year.
Right.
Or he's going to be in prison.
He plays the first four games. He's
okay, fine. And he's not going to play the rest of the season? I'm not sold at all on the Chiefs. I love the Ravens. And the Bills, by the way, love Josh Allen, the offense. Guess what? What always screws them every year?
Their secondary. They have the worst
defense and secondary. It's
awful. Their secondary is horrible.
Get torched in the playoffs.
And they didn't really do much to improve it in the offseason. So I'm not high on the Bills. Will they get 12, 13 wins traditionally? Yes. Are they going to go to the Super Bowl? I can't put them in it.
Well,
I love the Ravens.
Let me give you a little piece. Let me give you a little factoid that might factor into your decision here, Milk. The hardest strength of schedule in the AFC this year is the Ravens. Their opponents, 533. The Chiefs, number three, 522. The Bills and the Jags are tied with the 10th easiest AFC schedule, 467. The Bills have on paper, a soft schedule this year.
Right.
So they get their 14 wins. The division they're playing in.
Right. They get their 14
wins. I have to agree with Milk, though, on the Broncos. If a lot of things go right, like if Evan Engram plays well for
I love the Evan Engram pickup.
Coach Payton.
Did we talk about that?
Like he did 2 years ago. And they got this secondary wide receiver named Mims, who had a really great last part of last season. He could be something, too, to go along with Courtland Sutton. So they could be good. But don't forget the Chiefs now have an offensive line. That's their big change.
I don't think it's good anymore.
Everyone said, wow, if he ever gets healthy, he could be good. He is healthy, and now they're projecting him to be one of the top five left tackles in football. And they also got this guy in the second round who's playing left guard. I can't even pronounce his name. He's like Kingsley Suamatea or something like that. Their offensive line is shored up. Their problem, though, is, like you said, who knows about Rashee Rice? And so you got Xavier Worthy and who else? That's their problem.
Well, by the way, House, who threw the six most TDs in the NFL last year?
I'm guessing you're going to say Bo Nix.
Oh, freaking Nick. What would you have said?
I don't know. How did Baker's 42 touchdowns go over last year?
We're talking fantasy football here. We're talking – I mean, I'm just telling you, he's the most undervalued, underrated quarterback.
House, you've completely neglected one division.
Well, no, I want to talk about the Texans. I was just about to go there because did you guys know that the Texans last year allowed 54 sacks? Like – That offensive line was a complete
CJ was scrambling
sieve. Yeah,
they did replace everybody.
They added Trent Brown, Cam Robinson, and Ed Engram to that line. I think they made a really smart move to add Chubb, who will now start the season in place of Mixon, who will miss at least four games. I still am a little uncertain about Nico coming off of injury, and. You know, Christian Kirk's nice, but I think their wide receivers aren't as strong as they used to be. But I like Stroud, and I think the Texans are going to run away with that division. The Titans and the Colts stink. The Colts are definitely playing for Arch. The Titans, you know, whatever. They're starting with Cam Ward. That's a tough one to go on. The Jags were 4-13 last year. I love the addition. I don't know, Milk, what you think of Liam Cohen, but I think that's going to improve that team a lot. In Jacksonville,
I think they suck.
I think Travis Hunter is going to improve that team. But, of course, you know, if Trevor Lawrence doesn't do much at all, I don't think they break 500. I think they make a move up from 4-13, but I think the Texans run rough.
Do you know who
has
identical statistics to Trevor Lawrence as a quarterback in the NFL? Danny Dimes.
He's the most overrated
quarterback. Compare their statistics. They're identical.
Trevor Lawrence.
I think the Texans have maybe the fourth or fifth best defense in all of football. And apparently Will Anderson is a monster this year. He spent the offseason bulking up, and is even better. So
he was already a monster last year.
They're going to run away with it. You're right. They're going to run away.
It's
with
a non-competitive division.
Let's see how they do in the playoffs,
guys. House. We're forgetting Rooster's favorite team. We cannot
the Chargers.
The Chargers.
Yes, that's one of my question teams.
So look, we're going to find out. Herbert is something like 4-18 against the top competition, like the best teams. He just doesn't play well in the big games, but I do think we all liked what Harbaugh did with them last year, bring them to 11-6. McConkey's in year two. We'll see what this backfield of Najee Harris, Omarion Hampton does. I have some question marks. I always have question marks about Keenan Allen. He's feast or famine. I think Quentin Johnson should have probably been better than he was, but he's coming back now with a little bit more tread on that, you know, a little wear, more wear on that tread. So we'll see. I do think coaching is the X factor is what does Sean Payton continue to do for the Broncos to improve them? What does Harbaugh continue to do for the Chargers? Because if coaching is the X factor, then we're going to see some surprises at the Chargers and the Broncos versus the Chiefs.
Here's my prediction on the Chargers. Trey Lance is going to make some plays for that team.
God.
What? Where?
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, man. You didn't see him play. He secured the backup quarterback position over Bison's old guy, whatever his name was. And looked great.
He had one good preseason
flashes in Dallas, but he sucks. When the pressure gets on him, he's going to crater. Mark my words, fellas.
I'm right about this.
Okay.
Milk, the Bills, they did add Joey Bosa to that defense, which will make a difference. Okay.
How old is he?
Okay. Now, here's my question. Do you guys believe in Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, and Joshua Palmer as Josh Allen's wide receivers? Did that do it for you?
No.
They're all respectable WR2s.
Mm-hmm. Keon Coleman's in his second year. I think he was okay last year. I'd love
Khalil
to see
Shakir
growth from him.
Had a good year last year, too.
Yeah. But no, they don't. He doesn't have a star.
I mean, they haven't had a WR1 since
I love James Cook.
I like James Cook, too.
I love their offense is not my issue. I think their secondary
Kincaid's not
sucks.
Bad either as a tight end.
The Ravens are going to figure it out. The Ravens are going to watch the blueprint last year with leaning into Saquon. Henry's going to get the ball a lot more than he did even last year. They're not going to continue to make Lamar the running back.
Keaton Mitchell is back, too. Don't forget that.
I'm telling you, this is the Ravens' year. They're gonna figure it out. Lean into Henry and let your defense win football games, and I think they're gonna be okay.
Yes, lean into Henry, please.
I don't disagree. What House question to you? I want to know how you feel about the Steelers. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers. Ugh. They put a shit ton of money into their defense. They got Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay, your boy is there. DK Metcalf's now on the team. They lost Pickens. What is going to happen with Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers? Talk about coaching. Obviously, great coach. He loves to win 9 games every year.
The Steelers'
third place
entire story begins and ends with two words: Aaron Rodgers. He's done. Okay. He is done. Ski. We are living off the fumes of Rodgers. Just so you're aware, 12 brilliant GMs in our fantasy football league, 12 brilliant GMs, completely requiring two quarterbacks, I mean 24 quarterbacks in the league, did not draft Aaron Rodgers. And these are brilliant GMs, brilliant.
Brilliant GMs.
Jackson Dart got drafted.
Yeah, that's right, baby. I think the Raiders will be much better than predicted.
Why?
I like Crosby. I think Brock Bowers is one of the best tight ends in the league. Who knows? Look, maybe Janty will come in and
I think
like Janty. Max Crosby. Geno Smith is, I don't know, he's capable.
You're going to use Mike Meyer with Brock Bowers in this, because they're probably the two best receivers on the team. So they're going to have a two tight end look a lot.
Well, I guess we spoke it into existence. Trey Hendrickson has been signed by the Bengals.
They needed that.
There you go.
So there you go.
Status quo on defense.
Status quo on defense. I think that changes in the Bengals' favor.
The problem is the offensive line is going to get Burrow killed.
Yeah.
But, you know, that wasn't their issue last year. They put up a ton of points. They just gave up more, put themselves in a hole they couldn't get out of.
Yeah, they started off way too slow.
I think this is a year where the NFC has a few really, really quality teams, which we'll talk about next week, and so does the AFC. I think we've got a lot of balance between both leagues. I don't think there's one league that's so much better, one conference that's so much better than the other. So we'll see. I think four, maybe five teams can really make a run at the AFC. But for now, until they get knocked off as champions of the AFC, all roads run through Arrowhead.
Yeah, I mean, I think to your point, House, that both conferences are top heavy.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Anything else on the AFC? Let's move on to baseball.
Is it still baseball playing? Milk, is it baseball season still?
Right. You guys don't care anymore.
It is?
Jeez. You know, there are some teams running away with their divisions right now. It's funny. I picked when we picked early in the year, I said the Yankees were going to come in third place behind the Red Sox and the Orioles. And it turns out that the Jays surprised everyone this year with a 76-55 record right now. They look like they're going to run away with the East in the AL. The Tigers are surely running away with the Central with the best record in the AL. And the Astros are looking strong in the West. House's Phillies look pretty good in the East, 76-54. In the Central, the Brewers have the best record in baseball at 81-50. And in the West, it's the Dodgers at 74-57. What's interesting to talk about right now are the wild card races.
It's really thin. Really, really thin.
It's there's no one really establishing themselves. In the AL, we've got the top three teams are the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Mariners. What do you got? Who do you think's coming out of that?
I think all three.
Those three.
If I'm reading the math right, only the Royals and Rangers arguably are two teams that are above 500. Royals three back and Rangers 4.5 back. I don't really think they've got the firepower. The Mariners have been on fumes for a couple weeks, but I think they'll get it back together.
Yeah, they're a good team. They are a good team.
And I think the Sox and the Yankees will be fine. So I think the AL is just set. I mean, the only thing that's going to maybe move at all is if the Mariners make a run and challenge the Astros at all. But otherwise, the AL is
set. Yeah, I mean, they're only separated by two games right now. And, you know, the Mariners were really breathing down their neck until they stumbled lately, and there's still only two because Houston's not putting them away. I think that's going to go to the last week,
probably.
The loser of that division race will be a wild card,
right?
Yeah, the NL is a little tighter, where the Cubs, Padres, and Mets are the current top three who would get into the wild card if the season ended today, but the Reds are only two games off the Mets. And the D-backs are six games off.
So yeah, it's just a four-team race.
A little tough.
Yeah, it's only the Reds.
I think, though, that the D-backs and Cards should be in this, but they're not. It's not. The Reds.
The Phillies have three up at Citi Field starting today where they could dust the Mets and put them eight or nine, or if they swept, which they won't do, 10 games back. But the truth is the Reds are so pesky, and they have – really, really good pitching and pretty decent hitting. I'd rather keep the Reds out of the playoffs than the Mets. I think the Mets are just on a downward spiral. I think they'll get in on fumes, but the Reds are going to make a run at this thing.
Reds are super aggressive on the base paths too. I like watching the Reds.
Yeah, they're an improving team. Definitely, definitely improving team. The Mets, my God, they really messed up the trade deadline, not touching their pitching. You know, they pretty much run out Senga, and then there's nothing really beyond that.
Are we undervaluing the Padres here? I'm not convinced they're not winning the West.
They're tied.
They might.
They're tied for first with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
No one's talking about them.
Right.
74-57. Yeah, they have an identical record. I think, I like the Padres.
No, I like the Cubs. The Cubs are probably the best non-division leading team right now.
I mean, if one of the non-division leading teams is the Dodgers, the Padres. I don't think you can put the Cubs over them. The Cubs have,
well, they have
really
a better record.
Yeah, they've been fading though. I mean, they're
8-2. They cut off four games off the Brewers' lead.
Well, the Brewers.
How many games back are they?
10-game stretch, by the way.
Well, because the Cubs beat them, like what? Five games.
How many games are the Cubs back?
Five. They were 9.
Yeah. They went on a nice, yeah, they beat them. They beat them how many times?
But a couple of their players really started to fade. Like, you know, there was this like ridiculous trajectory of PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong, where people were putting him in the MVP race, and then he just went ice cold. And so, you know, we'll see. The Cubs have okay pitching. I like the Padres and the Dodgers. The Phillies are really, really, really in trouble without Zach Wheeler. I mean, you can't.
Yeah, how do you replace him?
You can't have as your 1-2 Christopher Sanchez and then what? Ranger Suarez, Christopher Sanchez, and then Aaron Nola, who's just coming off injury and looks terrible. You got to have 1-2 going into the playoffs, and it's a real, real shame. I think the Phillies had a very, very special season going. Wheeler might have even challenged for the Cy, but he won't be playing baseball for a long time, if ever again. And so the Phillies are going to have to win playoff games 10-8, you know, or whatever. They're going to have to score a lot of runs. And hopefully Sanchez is reliable. He's a stud pitcher. He's not that far behind Skeens in the Cy. But, they don't have
enough. I mean, you still have two pretty solid pitchers. Right.
Yeah. I mean, Ranger has looked good since coming back from injury. Nola hasn't looked good at all. There's been a pleasant surprise. Last year, one of the worst pitchers in all of baseball was Taijuan Walker. He's now a reliable number four pitcher for us. His ERA is hovering just above 3 or now maybe below it because he's had 4 or 5 outstanding outings. But I wouldn't trust Taijuan Walker in the playoffs. So
who's
we'll
your
see.
Number three?
Yeah, our number three, it's Christopher Sanchez, and then some combination of Ranger Suarez or Nola as your two, and then your three is Suarez or Nola as the three, and then Walker. They're not going to call up Andrew Painter. They've made that decision. You know, their number one pitching prospect. They're just not going to put him in that situation.
They're not going to let him in September when the rosters expand at least see what he's got?
Apparently they're not. So we'll see. Playoffs, I think this year will be a lot of fun. Until the Brewers ran away with it for a very, very long time, these 10, you know, whatever, 6-10 teams we've been talking about have all been separated by 2 games, like in all of baseball, like from top to bottom. It's very, very competitive. You're going to have, I don't know, 8-10 teams in the playoffs, all with right around 90 wins, and maybe one with 95 with the Brewers. And so it's just going to make for who gets that timely pitching, timely hitting. That's what the baseball playoffs are all about.
Let's talk about some year-end award predictions, fellas. For the American League, who you got for MVP? What do you think's happening at the end of this year? It's pretty much...
I mean, I think Judge has made a nice rebound. He was first in a lot of categories beyond just home runs. This Cal Raleigh story is just, it's a fun story. Is it an MVP story? I don't know. I think Judge has the edge right now, but objectively, what do you think, Rooster?
I agree. I was watching the game last night, the Red Sox-Yankees games, and Judge scared me. He was slipping back into that thing where he waves at low and outside pitches, you know, that's mm-hmm. sliders that start out mid plate and wind up way outside and too low, yeah. And he chases them. If he continues to do that, Raleigh could catch him. If Shohei was still in the American League, I would say he was going to get it over Judge, because I just have a bad feeling about Judge's last few plate appearances that I saw. In the NL, though, I know you want to make an argument for Schwarber, but you think there's any chance he's going to catch Shohei for the MVP?
2 weeks ago, I said Schwarber is making a run at this, but then Shohei has just, he's caught fire both on the mound and at the plate. We use it all the time. he's more than just a generational player. Again, like if this guy, I mean, Los Angeles, you know, playing for the Dodgers has changed it, but you know, if he was, I don't know, a white American player coming out of college and, you know, like a spokesperson that you could hear on TV all the time, like we would be talking about Shohei as one of the top all-time players. We still might end up doing that. What Schwarber's doing is very special. Unfortunately, it may cost the Phillies keeping Schwarber in this contract year.
He's going to get paid big time next year by someone.
Since he literally, in back-to-back games in Cincinnati, the one game they let his dad, he's from Cincinnati, they let his dad throw out the pitch to Schwarber. And the next day, the city of Cincinnati gave Schwarber the keys to the city. An opposing player. But anyway, Schwarber's really filled in incredibly when Harper was hurt earlier this year. In many ways, he's been an MVP of the team. But, you know, the Phillies had great pitching. Otani, you take away Otani, as with all that firepower, with Freeman and Betts and everything else, you take away Otani, and the Dodgers are definitely 5-10 games less than where they are now.
Let me ask you this, House. If you were starting a team in the National League right now, who would you rather have, Kyle Schwarber or Manny Machado?
Starting a team?
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
what's the age difference?
I think Schwarber's younger. I actually do.
Really? Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Schwarber's deceiving in terms of it seems like he's been around for a long time because he's jumped to four teams, but probably Machado. Because he can play the field,
more all-around player. Yeah. He's more all-around player. We have a couple of tight races for the Cy Young right now. In the AL, I think it's down to Skubal and Garrett Crochet for the Red Sox. You know, people want to hand it to Skubal for good reason. But have you seen Crochet pitch lately?
Incredible.
He's lights out.
Lights out. They both are. That is a great. If people pay attention to this race, that's what the best race that's going right now.
That's the closest out of all of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But your man in the NL House, like you were saying, Sanchez. You know, he's got a legitimate shot. Paul Skeens. I mean, he's the best pitcher in baseball.
Skeens. I'm done with this pod. If he doesn't
hold
win.
On, you're right. I'm done. You're right, and he has a great ERA, but are we going to start giving the Cy to like 5 and 15
Let's
players?
Let's penalize him because he's on a bad team. Okay, I get it.
Don't lose.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Don't let him score any runs.
Well, that same problem is going to come up within the Rookie of the Year conversation.
Yeah.
Particularly in the AL, with the front runner being Nick Kurtz, the guy who had, what do you have, like four or five? He had four home runs in one game and a fifth that should have been a homer.
Yeah, no one's touching Kurtz.
Have you seen Roman Anthony? Bell?
Yeah, no, he's great. Great.
Do you know what the betting odds on Kurtz are?
He's like minus 25,000.
200,000.
Yeah.
No, Kurtz, minus 200,000.
In the last 30 games, he's batting 376. His numbers, he's 306 with 26 home runs, 68 RBIs, and 1.027 OPS. For a rookie, he's ridiculous.
Right. His only problem is he plays in a minor league stadium on a team no one knows anything about.
If I put $500 sort of like on him, I win 25 cents. Make that clear.
Do it.
For a quarter, I could bet $500.
Now, the race for the National League Rookie of the Year seems much tighter with two guys I don't know a damn thing about, Cade Horton for the Cubs and Isaac Collins for the Brewers.
So Horton is Cubs' starting pitcher, and in the second half of the season this year, his ERA is 0.49. You know, on a team that's going to make the playoffs. So he's got a 1.5 war. He's 8-4 with a 2.88 ERA overall, 77 strikeouts. I think that Horton is running probably second right now to Collins, the Brewers outfielder. I think he's being boosted by being on the Brewers. He was the July National League Rookie of the Year. He was the overall National League Player of the Week, one of the weeks in August. So he's in the second half, he's getting a lot of attention for all these awards. He's batting .268 with 8 home runs and 43 RBIs. He's a big part of the Brewers' offense and that outfield. And then there's this kid, Drake Baldwin, who's the Braves' catcher, sometimes DH, who also is batting .277 with 13 home runs and 57 RBIs. He's in the mix, too. I think this one's going to go down to the end, and I think Baldwin's going to get hurt by being on the Braves, and this will come down to how do the Cubs and Brewers finish up and what role do Horton and Collins play in the end of that season. But that's another good race going on.
Yeah.
Let's go back, because I may have missed something. Who do you guys think the favorite is for the AL Cy Young?
Scooble.
It's probably Scooble, but Crochet's really close.
Crochet's
well, you
right
know
there.
Who else is being mentioned and just not getting is Eovaldi. Yeah. He's having
he's
a great like year. One of the best
he's playing for the Rangers. That's pitching. His problem.
Yeah. He's 1.73 ERA. He just qualified to get enough innings pitched because he was out. He was out in June, but I mean, he's got 11 wins and his 1.73 ERA. So I would say, you know, I just read something said it was Scooble and Eovaldi now to make it a 2-man race. So it'll be interesting. Not saying he's going to win, but I think we need to put him up there.
I think he'll be hurt also by, you know, a team that's not going to make the playoffs most likely. Crochet and Scooball will be boosted by that.
Yeah.
But he's having amazing.
Hunter Brown from the Astros is in that race too, technically.
By the way, which one of you loves the Raiders? Somebody
milk.
Said that.
I said they'd be better than predicted.
Well, now they're going to be even better. They just got Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper's on the Raiders now?
Is he still? He's still.
Were we just talking
football?
About him Sunday or Saturday?
We were. He's 31 years old and catching balls. For all the
right.
Now.
He went undrafted, right?
Yeah. Well, he was not on anyone's team.
Pope just went to the waiver wire in the last 10 seconds. That Cooper will be on his team by the end of the week.
Oh, boy.
I've already got a jersey for him.
That's right.
I've been resisting the urge to do that. I did that last year. I had some people get hurt almost immediately, and I just started dropping on my entire team, which is a huge mistake. Let's punch someone, fellas. Who's got a punchable face of the week?
It's this week's punchable face.
I've got a punch. Anyone else?
Here we go.
Go ahead, Pope. We haven't heard from you in a while.
Coming off the mat. I don't know if you guys, I think it was late night, but anybody catch any of Daniil Medvedev, his antics?
Yes, I did.
No, what is this?
So first round of the U.S. Open, it's actually match point. He's down to the Benjamin Bonzi, who's actually beat him the last two majors in the first round. So he's already kind of running hot, and he's about to lose in straight sets. A cameraman, and so Bonzi had a fault on the first one, and so second serve. Before that, a cameraman walks onto the court just thinking the match is over. I don't know. I don't know what his explanation is, but totally disrupts everything. And so the chair says, well, now we're going to go back and give, because of the disruption, we're going to give Bonzi his first serve back. And Medvedev went nuts. I mean, it was like McEnroe on steroids. He stormed the chair, yelling at the guy, asking, you know, challenging his manhood, asking if he was a man, saying he just wanted to get out of here. And so, like, bunch of boos. After 6 minutes, they went back and restarted the match. Sure enough, Medvedev rallied. He won that game, broke serve, and he won the next two. So he won the next two sets. So they went to a fifth set, and he lost 6-4. And he was so pissed after the match, and this is what people see on TV, is he sat in his chair, he took his racket and just smashed it to smithereens on the court, on the bench, anywhere he could find. And, you know, lots of boos. Obviously, the New York fans weren't really putting up with that. But, you know, he got fined. I think he got fined like $100,000 today for his conduct, and maybe another $50,000 for the way he treated the chair. So there's been discussion. I think Patrick McEnroe said he needs to sit out of tennis a little while. But, yeah, I'm punching. First of all, I'm going to a little milk slap to that cameraman because I don't know what the fuck he was doing. But he started it all by wandering onto the court. But full-on punch to Daniil because that's just not to be tolerated.
$100,000 fine is a lot in tennis, by the way.
I like those hotheads. Yeah. That's I like the Ili Nastasi.
Yeah, I like Nastasi too. All right. Anyone else have one?
You do.
I've got one. I talked about this punch this weekend with one of my favorite SMQB's listeners who goes by the name of Mrs. House. And I'm going to – I have to do this. I'm going to punch my beloved New York Yankees for drafting in the fifth round this year shortstop Core Jackson, who as a freshman baseball player for University of Nebraska painted a swastika on another freshman's dorm room.
What the fuck?
And
he was Jewish.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Painted a swastika on a Jewish freshman's dorm room in Nebraska. He claimed that he was blackout drunk and has no memory of the incident and never had a memory of it. And that he was mortified by his behavior, blah, blah, blah. He transferred to University of Utah. So this was happening in 2021 when he was a freshman. Transfers to University of Utah. And last year he gets a DUI on a dry campus. So, you know, still up to, you know, the same kind of behavior, I guess. But he claims that he hasn't had any alcohol in months. And he is just disgusted with that behavior. He actually called every Major League Baseball team in advance of the draft and told them about it up front. The Yankees, you know, looked into this upside and down and talked to the members of the organization at the top, who the Jewish the Jewish front office guys, and they all gave it the green light. I'm still punching them because you just don't do that to your fan base when your fan base lives in a city that has the second highest Jewish population in the world outside of Israel.
Fire.
It's just wrong. It's just wrong. I just can't get over how fucking tone deaf they are for doing that. Like Fire Brian Cashman.
There it was.
Like a fifth round.
You've been saying that for all season.
Like, do we really need one guy in the fifth round? Yeah, that's bad.
It's just dumb. Yeah. It's just dumb. All right. Before we move along to our lasso, I want to thank our final sponsor tonight, Supio Software. They have an excellent AI program that integrates with your case management system and allows you to create your own medical chronologies, demand letters, and other legal documents. Check them out at supio.com. Somebody give Tommy Fleetwood a lasso, for God's sake.
For Bison?
What are we lassoing him for? Because he got a victory in golf?
I guess.
Does anybody have a lasso?
I mean,
say something nice about Tommy.
Come on. We need to say something nice about Tommy. He made me a lot of money yesterday.
Well, that's why Bison wants to give a lasso.
Bison wants a lasso.
He's struggled to get his first PGA Tour win. He's obviously
won
the world
12
tour.
Years? How many years has it been?
I don't know. Ever since Geico had their commercials, Tommy's been trying.
He's living off his Geico money all this time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess if you're going to win for the first time, you might as well go out and win fucking $10 million, right? I mean, that is a drop the microphone
victory was it? Right there. 118 or something tournament?
I don't know. Is that the number of tournaments before he got his first win?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
It's a story of perseverance, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's blown 2- and 3-stroke leads with a couple holes left in some major tournaments this year. So, yeah, I mean, it was a feel-good story. I thought it actually was kind of cool. I don't know if you guys watched it, but, like, Justin Rose and Shane Lowry and some of the other Euros hung around and, you know, embraced him. It's almost like he got his first major, the way that they embraced him. And, you know, look, I mean, I'm not going back to the Ryder Cup, but that's definitely going to be a pretty fucking hard team to beat.
We're going to lose.
Milk, did you want to give one to Lasso to Desmond Watson or no?
You son of a bitch.
Or maybe Shiloh Sanders.
He tried really hard to make the team.
He just get off the steak and shake. Okay.
For those of you who don't know Desmond Watson, he was a very accomplished defensive tackle for the Florida Gators, who Milk liked a lot. And when you watch, you don't have to rub your eyes thinking you're seeing three people at the same time. It's just one person. He's just that big. But
my FSU buddies are really laying it on today. Speaking of college football, I have a little lasso. This is important to the degenerate gamblers like myself, who put everything on the line on the Hawaii game on Saturday night.
Oh,
when
my
they were
God.
Down money.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to lasso the Hawaii kicker, Kanzi Matsuzawa, who hit three field goals against Stanford, one in the last 3 seconds to win the game. If you don't know his background, he's from Japan. He came to the United States in 2020. This is the best part. He learned to kick through YouTube videos and learned English through YouTube videos and ended up making the Hawaii team last year. He had a really good season, like 13 of 16. And hell of a moment Saturday to bail
Dramatic.
Them out with a quarterback on one leg and really
right.
Cool
How
moment.
Do you not lasso the quarterback who
I'm gonna played, lasso him too?
Who played the whole game with
he
one
may not
well,
be
not
playing
the whole
football
game,
anymore.
Most of the game with one leg.
He came through and we needed it. Go Hawaii.
And I think Wayne Parsons was there too, so I think you give him a lasso for
he had to be right.
Hawaii's undefeated when Wayne Parsons shows up with his hat.
I love it.
Can I just say while we're on giving meaningless lassos to special teams players, are you guys aware that were you aware that Nebraska has a punter that can kick with both feet?
Sorry. He's an amphibious.
Yeah, he is amphibious. Archie Wilson from Australia can decide which foot he wants to kick with.
That's
ambidextrous
pretty,
punter.
You never know.
Well, that's not uncommon and for people who play rugby and probably Australian rules football, because you got to be kicking on the run while someone's trying to tackle you.
I guess. That's pretty special to me.
I guess you can run to your left, though, and kick with your left foot when they expect
you never know.
You to
yeah, if you get
so
able
why
to
why
kick.
So, why don't we give Archie Wilson a lasso
Let's
while
give
we're
him
at
a
it.
Lasso. Come on.
Okay. Let's move on from lame lassos to real buzzer beaters.
Pope's got
Anyone Pope, have a buzzer?
I've got one.
This
and I,
weekend
you know,
in college football. Come on. That's the thing. Talk us through it.
I've been gone for the college football preview, and I got some things to say, but I won't say them on the buzzer beater.
Say them, say it.
Say them.
Get it out.
Got to defend myself. But look.
You are with Bama this
I do,
year, right?
I do love the fact that House intimated on the last pod that he had my proxy, and he knew that Alabama would be my team.
That is correct, right?
Yeah. When I heard that on the flight, I almost spit out my gin and tonic. But yes, that is correct. Alabama is my team this year until SMU does better, and then we'll talk.
Correct, of course. I knew that.
But this is the big weekend we've all been waiting for. I know you guys alluded to it already, but I mean, I can't tell you the excitement level of any college football fan. Sports pants are going crazy. First time in the first weekend, you got a matchup of 1-2 with Texas going to OSU, and so many questions. Can Arch Manning, you know, finally live up to the Manning legacy? And, you know, is Texas going to be able to beat the defending national championship at home, which Ohio State's favored by 1.5? I put my money on Texas, but I think it's going to be a great game. Bama at FSU, there's so many question marks about FSU after a horrific last year. And then Kalen DeBoer's second year for Alabama. I mean, the bunch of questions going to be decided on Saturday.
Don't screw that game up.
And you
Do
got
not
the battle
game
of
up.
You got the battle of the Death Valleys. You got LSU going to Clemson for prime time on Saturday night, which will be another great game. And you know, y'all been talking about how great Clemson's quarterback is. And you know, I mean, I think he had a pretty good year towards the end last year. He came on, but Clemson was a so-so team until they got lucky and backed into the ACC championship. So I'm not sold on Klubnik yet for long term. We'll see. And then Sunday we got Notre Dame at Miami, the last Sunday before NFL kicks off. That should be another good game. Miami, I think, may be a little overrated. I see where they're at 10. I'm not sure about that. And then the nightcap, so to speak, for the weekend is the premiere of Bill Belichick going in Chapel Hill, hosting TCU on the final game of Labor Day weekend. And I can tell you that there's a lot of buzz in Chapel Hill. The excitement for football, which you just don't ever see at the level of basketball, which it is right now. So we'll see. And I'm sure Jordan Hudson will be there, you know, somehow get on TV.
Isn't she the coach?
A few times. Pretty much.
I think that Texas OSU and the LSU Clemson game will make a big jump in just week one on the Heisman, because somebody is going to show out. Klubnik or Nussmeier or Arch. I predict one of those guys really shows out on that stage and is going to take a big jump in the lead of the Heisman.
It's just crazy that such good teams are going to be 0-1 after the first game.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Well, you can get away with that now.
College football playoff, and they changed the way that they're looking at seedings now. So you're not going to get penalized for losing a game at Ohio State, but if you get blown out and then you have some other bad losses, then you'll definitely be in trouble.
Yeah. House, you have a buzzer?
It's a quick buzzer in that it's real kind of like I was alluding to earlier. I just feel bad for the career of Zach Wheeler. This is a guy who, if you're not up to the medical news of Major League Baseball, Wheeler has thoracic outlet syndrome, had a clot in his shoulder and just had surgery for it. And by all accounts, out of the four or five last pitchers that have come back from thoracic outlet syndrome, maybe one had a decent career after it. It's really could be a career-ending injury. It was for Strasburg. It's been for other pitchers. And this is a guy that was runner-up and arguable for Cy for the last two or three years. His stats, his numbers over the last four or five years are the tops in baseball. And he was having one of his best years this year, leading in a number of categories. And you just got a feel for a guy like that. He's a good guy, just goes about his business, has four great pitches, dependable, incredible stats in the playoffs. And he's out for at least 6 to 8 months. And I don't know, I think we should manage expectations that we see Zach Wheeler pitch again. So that's my buzzer. I just feel bad for him.
So weirdly, I like to read the waiver wires and see and the cuts and all that. And today, most of the teams announced their cuts in the NFL. And it's just sad. You know, it's sad to see certain people, you know, this is the end of their career when you see them cut. And others were surprising. The Lions cut Hendon Hooker, their quarterback from Tennessee, which surprised me. I thought he was doing well and had a real shot at being their backup. I'm not sure why they cut him. There are four guys who were cut who just seems like this is the end for them. Saints cut Cam Akers, running back, who not too long ago was a premier running back for the Rams. The 49ers cut sort of perennial fourth-string running back Amir Abdullah. He's got to be done after that. The Commanders cut Michael Gallup for his wide receiver. I thought he was going to make that team. And then the 49ers also cut Amon-Ra's brother, Equanimeous St. Brown, wide receiver. And just wanted to acknowledge how wrong one of our SMQB members was last week, talking up Shiloh Sanders. He got cut today by the Bucks.
Well, that
might have been me.
Literally.
That might have been me. one other thing, I thought maybe House would bring this up, but those crypto douchebags who promoted their company by
throwing dildos?
Green dildos onto WNBA courts have done it again and took credit for the green dildo that got tossed onto the field in, during the Vikings' last preseason game. They should get a little milk slap.
My final buzzer beater is that F1 picks back up. We got 10 races left, sprint to the finish after summer rest. And, you know, Oscar's leading Lando by 9 points. It's going to be a really interesting race to the finish. The Dutch Grand Prix is this weekend, and let's watch and see what happens with Max. But, boy, you know, he'd love to win there in front of his home crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, and our internal competition is just as close.
I just wanted to let you all know that next Monday when we record the pod, we will be 72 hours out from Eagles Cowboys.
Jeez.
Sorry, from the what?
Let's effing go!
How is it possible that the Eagles are only 6.5-point favorites?
Hey, you guys have Dakota Prescott?
Like I said, how is it possible you're only 6.5-point favorites?
Javonte Walker?
I don't know who totally Javonte Walker is.
Javonte Williams. Oh, Javonte Williams?
Yeah. He's our RB1.
Do you still have that guy that's like 4'6" that is a running back?
The Deuce?
Yeah, the Deuce.
On the loose.
Javonte Williams.
We're going to have a full preview of Thursday Night Football.
And we got
Micah
Parsons holding out still, wearing no jersey. And
lying out.
Lying on the
We should have punched him for that behavior.
Yeah, I should have.
He's tired. He's tired of fighting with Jerry.
That's the most childish thing I've seen in football in a while.
Was he really offered $200 million? Is that what they're saying?
Who knows? Jerry's full of shit.
No, that's
Jerry
what
claims
Adam
he had a Shuffer handshake was deal with Micah without any agent being present.
Mm. Is that why the agent told him to shove it up his ass?
That, among other reasons, yes. Drama will, next week we'll see if he's signed.
A trade would be amazing.
All right,
especially
fellas.
To Tampa.
Jerry ought to stick to his glory holes and get out of the GM business.
Yeah, but on that note, adios, mofos.
Okay.
See you next week, buddies.